Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord." So mark that, if you will. We'll visit that back. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you will, look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 11:14, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? For if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, your help tonight, blessing. This will be more teaching than preaching, and Lord, the heart's desire of this preacher is to be a help, so help me to be a help. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to give this Bible study to a receptive audience, to open hearts, and Lord, that you'd bless and work. Sweet Holy Spirit, over the years, time and time again, we've watched you work within the lives of Christians and bring them into maturity and growth and growth of grace. And Lord, we are thankful for your patience with us. And Lord, we certainly respect that and ask God that you would patiently work in each of us in this area that we're going to preach on tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I had mentioned, we gave a foundational sermon last week concerning the boundary that God set, thrice proclaimed, between a man and a woman. I told you that during this series, I would at some point take a Sunday night and deal with dress and modesty, and I'm going to do that tonight. I want to say a couple things about that. First of all, I don't think that there's a church in this area that takes a better, more biblical, or stronger stand on this than Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me say this also, though. I don't think also there's a church in the area that's more gracious to people in this area than Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Everybody that gets saved has to start where they are. I remember when my mom and dad got saved. By the way, when my mom got saved, she didn't dress then like she dresses now. Many of the ladies that have grown in this area of their life, if you went back to the history of this church and saw them when they first started coming, and even some of them for years after they came, you know what? They had to grow and learn, and that's good and wonderful. Every once in a while I hear something that just honestly just hurts my heart. It hurts my heart that it's being said. I don't know how to stop it. And a lot of it's, you have to understand, jealousy, small town. We're one of the larger churches in the county, and it just seems like if you are, you know, there's a lot of jealousy and envy. People say mean, caustic, untrue things about your church, and you can't run around town trying to pick it all up and fix everything. But you know, every once in a while I'll have somebody tell me, you know, that in this area we're unkind and ungracious, and that is just so untrue. I've had people tell me, well, I heard you have men out in the parking lot, and if somebody's not dressed a specific way, you won't even let them get out of the car and make them leave. And I started watching out in the parking lot to make sure nobody was doing that, you know. But I mean, crazy people tell crazy things, and I thought, that is absolutely not true. Matter of fact, just the opposite is true. You know what? I don't know of a church in America, I mean this, in this the area that's more gracious to people who come in this church. We just want them here. We just want them to come. We just want to be a blessing to them. And if you look around on any given Sunday morning, you'll see a little bit of everything. And you know what? As long as it's not, listen to me, as long as somebody's not grossly indecent, I'm not going to let foolishness go on. I'm not going to let utter nonsense go on. You understand that. I'm not going to let some woman walk in a bikini and be allowed to stay here. And if that's, I don't think that's ungracious. I think that's her being ungracious, okay? So I'm not gonna put up with stupid. But I will tell you this, we're kind to people here. And these bus kids get on the bus, and a lot of them aren't trained and taught, and they don't know any better. And you know what? They just need Jesus. That's a good starting point. You know, they got to get saved before they're going to understand anything. And so we treat them very kindly and very graciously, and I would want that. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, look up here. I would be heartbroken if anything but that happened in this church. Nobody here has been assigned by the pastor to run around and do dress check and ball people out, try to correct people in the fort. You've not been given that responsibility. And so don't take it upon yourself to do it, okay? You know, you'll be amazed what the Holy Spirit will accomplish in His time if you just preach the right things and do the right things and teach and trust Him. However, from time to time, it's important that we do teach these things. People can't grow if they're not taught. Another thing that's said is that we preach on this all the time. Well, those of you that have been here for the almost 8 years that I've pastored this church know that I've never taught or preached an entire message on dress. This will be the first time in 7+ years that I've done that. And it's not that it's wrong to do it. And to be honest with you, I probably should have done it before now. I've always said this. I think the best sermons that are preached on proper women's dress is preached by the ladies in this church that set a good example for other people coming in. And there is a part of this that I hesitate to teach and preach from the pulpit simply for a couple of reasons. I'll be honest with you what those reasons are. I believe in a Titus 2 principle. I think a lot of times elder ladies, and that means not just in age, but in godliness and maturity and salvation, are to teach the younger and be an influence on the younger. And honestly, I'm going to stop in some areas and look at you tonight and say, ladies, I need your help in this. I can't, in front of these young men, explain everything. And this is why this is a delicate thing. I don't want our men or our young men to become overtly aware and overtly captivated and overtly. You know, guys, it's not your job to do dress check. We don't, in the school, we've got a dress code. And guess what? We've got a lady that's in charge of dress check. I don't check the girls' dresses. Brother Riser doesn't check. No man ever is walking up down the hallways, looking girls up and down and over, and decide whether they're dressed properly. We put ladies in charge of that. That's not right for me to do it, and it's not right for them to have me do that. And so we do everything above board. I mean that. We're so careful in this area. Men, this is not something you ought to be, decide you're going to walk around and be the judge of. If you're constantly judging this, what you need to do is get your mind somewhere else. Are you listening to me? When I preach on this and teach on this, I'm going to do it kindly. If you want to be caustic and mean towards what's being taught, that's going to be on you. I've listened to it preached and taught in unkind ways, and I don't think it helps a bit. I've heard preachers, by the way, I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of preachers when they do this. Get up and be unkind and call ladies names and be caustic and mean and nasty when they teach on this. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus was anything, he was gracious. And the more godly a man is, the more gracious he'll be. And so, but at the same time, we do need to stop and teach on these things. Because two things. Number one, I want the ladies that are doing these things to know that what you're doing has a Bible basis. This is not a preference. This is not a preference. This ought to be a conviction with you. Well, that's just a personal preference. Some ladies, well, I dress this way, but it's just my personal preference. I'm hoping you'll graduate from preference to conviction, because there's a Bible basis for the right way to dress, and the Bible outlines it. It's not a preference, it's a conviction. It's clear Bible teaching, and so it needs to be taught. And so we're going to do that. We'll teach it and go through this. I don't know if I'll get it all done this week, maybe two Sunday nights, but I pray that you'd be gracious with me as I'm gracious with you. If you leave here tonight and I'm not convinced you, and you're not willing to make the adjustments yet in the areas I'm going to cover, let me tell you this. I still love you. I'm still glad to pastor you. And I think one preacher said this, if you can put up with my preaching, I can put up with your living. And so, but you're going to have to hear it, and you need to hear it. And you need to take in consideration what is said and take in consideration the scriptures. I don't know of anything that can be taught in the Bible that if you give enough people a round table and enough time, they can't argue it and logic it away. And if that's what you want to do, then argue and logic it away. But the honest truth is, I think the Bible's pretty plain on these things. So listen, please, with an open heart, and we'll give this. So I'm going to give you quickly, in introduction, three principles governing our dress. And this applies to both men and women. This isn't just a ladies' issue. This is a man's issue. The Bible gives a note on how a man's supposed to look and what lends towards masculinity and what a lady's supposed to wear, not wear, and how that lends towards femininity. There's three principles that should govern our choice of apparel. Number one, we should wear as Christians, what we wear should be unquestionably gender specific. Unquestionably gender specific. The Bible's plain on this. We'll teach it. We'll show you the verses in just a minute. We read Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord. And so very serious, the context of that verse, very serious. The word abomination will speak to that. Women are not to wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And so if it's a garment that pertains to a man or is associated with a man or masculinity, it should not be something that a Christian lady puts on. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And so young men, you say, oh, preacher, that's crazy. Look right up here, let me help you. Right now, over 1 million men in the United States on a regular basis dress in women's garments and go out in public. Over 1 million are doing it. And just because the men are a little bit behind the women in this doesn't mean that they didn't come on. You know, some of the churches that won't take a stand on this, some camps, some schools that won't take a stand on this, I say that to them, what are you going to do the first time one of your young men shows up in a skirt? What are you going to do about it? By the way, what verse do you have to tell them they can't? I didn't say half a verse. I said, what verse do you have? You can't take half of this for an old preacher. It's amazing. I'd sit here and say, no young man in here ought to walk around, parade around in this town in a dress. And everybody would say, well, of course not, of course not. Good night. No man should do that. But you can't take half a verse. You know, you got to decide where you're at on this. And if it's all right for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man, then you have to say it's all right for a man to wear women's garments. You can't take half the verse. And so if you would be aghast at that, we have stipulations. By the way, Sunday school teachers, I'm going to have a meeting with you pretty soon. We're going to hit some reset buttons. And some of you need to be thinking ahead. But you know what the standards are. You know what's expected. It's been no mystery since day one. If you've decided you want to start shifting in this area, then have enough graciousness and sensibility to come to my office and say, I'm changing my standards. And preacher, I should no longer be qualified to stand before the young ladies in our church as an example in this area. And you say, preacher, I just don't think that's right. All right, look right up here. If one of our men Sunday school teachers decided that during the week they're going to wear women's garments out in public, would you want this preacher to say, now y'all just be quiet and leave that alone, that's none of your business, it's between them and the Holy Spirit, and you just go ahead and send your boys into that class and let that man teach your boys? I'd have parents pulling them out of the class. I would have parents upset, and by the way, rightfully so. Well, folks, listen to me. You cannot say there's a difference here. And I'm going to show you that. And I want to talk to you about these things, okay? And so where we stand because we're not going to go halfway. So there's three principles. When I am considering buying something that I'm going to wear on my body, first thing I say to myself is, this unquestionably masculine. Unquestionably masculine. I don't wear pink shirts. Isn't it crazy we have to go to a society where we say pink is for girls and blue is for boys, you know. And it's a feminine color, you know. National Football League, month of October, one of the most discouraging things in the world. And all these masculine football players running around with pink on. You know, oh, well, preacher, that's just, I can't believe you're criticizing that. That's for a good cause. And you know what they do? They try to make some moral reason to do something that's immoral. And then all of a sudden, I'm the bad guy. I don't care, folks, what happens. I'm not putting pink on for anybody, for any cause, for anything. You know why? Because I'm going to wear what is unquestionably masculine. Now, some of you little sweetie pies, some of you little boys, you're already slipping around, putting on girls' jewelry and stuff like that, and then you want to act the martyr when some man barks at you around here. Don't you act the martyr. You want to be that, then you be that. But don't expect men to give you a pass. All right? I mean, you know, whatever. But there's a verse in the Bible that says that you become an abomination when you do that. You become, not the act is an abomination, you become an abomination unto the Lord when you do that. I think some guy that puts on a dress and prays through Walmart is an abomination unto the Lord. I think that. Okay, I wonder if I'd get that many amens if I go on with it. Okay. So let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. So first of all, unquestionably gender specific. If you're a lady, you go to shopping, you want to say when you look in an outfit, number one, is this unquestionably feminine? Unquestionably feminine. Is this going to tell everyone that as I wear this, that I am a lady? And so first of all, it's unquestionably gender specific. Number two, what Christians wear should be unquestionably modest. And this is for men and ladies. By modest, we mean it ought to cover you. It ought not to be revealing. It ought to be scanty. It ought to cover you. It ought to be unquestionably modest. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, in like manner also the woman adorned themselves in modest apparel. We'll talk about that, explain what that is. And so I mentioned this past Wednesday night, for those of you that weren't here, that when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, they realized their eyes were open, they realized they were naked. The Bible says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then the Lord came down and corrected that. And unto Adam also unto his wife, verse 21, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So the coats clothed them in God's eyes. The aprons didn't clothe them in God's eyes. Adam and Eve's idea of modesty was aprons. God replaced their aprons with coats and clothed them, leaving us to deduce that God did not see them as clothed properly as they were. And I always laugh and say this, seems like ever since then, mankind's been fussing to get their aprons back. Trying to get their aprons back. How dare God took our aprons. Young lady and young men ought to dress modestly. I don't think there's a double standard here. I see sometimes families and they have a modestly dressed teenage girl with them. And then they'll have a boy running around half naked. I don't think nakedness is right whether it's a boy or a girl. I don't believe it's right. Okay, so what ladies and men, young men should wear should be unquestionably gender specific, unquestionably modest. Then what Christians should wear should be unquestionably Christian. And what I mean by that is this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so I don't think that preacher, this is gender specific and it's modest. Let me ask you this: is it worldly? It can be gender-specific and modest and yet be worldly. I didn't think bad about this little girl, probably some church bus kid they recruited, but I went up to preach at a youth conference and a young lady came in with the youth group. And, you know, thank God that we're reaching out for teens and thank God that they had a dress standard at the conference, so you could see that they helped her conform to it, or she made an attempt to. She was dressed, she had a little Oriental girl, she had hair poofed way up and out, and just styled kind of just really, I get a little ridiculous. Then she had black gothic wear. I mean, everything she wore all week was black gothic. By the way, she had a A-line skirt and she had a top. But her accessories and all black and everything screamed gothic. Now, you could argue and say, well, preacher, she's dressed gender specific and she's dressed modestly, but she's not dressed reflecting what a Christian ought to be. She's representing a subculture, a worldly, ungodly subculture. And we see a lot of our Christian teens do this. You can't get by without going gender specific because we won't let you if you're going to school and you want to be, and we make you be modest. And so let's see how worldly I can get within those boundaries. And so you ought to consider, now wait a minute, this shouldn't be us having to pass 50 new rules every year. This ought to be Christian parents that have enough sense that says, you know what, I'm sorry. But with that on, if you're standing down here at the corner, I wouldn't know the difference between you and any lost kids that's standing down there. And stay away from extreme worldly fads. Young people, don't be fad chasers. Don't be fad chasers. Okay, don't do that. Be careful not to use your body as a walking billboard for worldly designer labels. Just use sense. Well, everybody's wondering, it's cool. It says this one must be cool. Well, why don't you go to that store and really look at that store and say, is this what, as a Christian, I want to walk around advertising? Is that store? Now, if you have something that says Gander Mountain, it'd be godly, of course, you know. Because there's nothing in that store that wouldn't be pleasing to Christ and a blessing and all of those things. But come on now, I don't go to the mall. But this is what I'm told, and well, Brother Reiser hangs out there Friday night. So, but I've had. Who said I seen him there? Who said? Oh, nice. Okay, told on yourself. Amen. Yes. That means you had to be there to see him there. But But I've had Christian people, I think good people, and by the way, I'm not going crazy. It's just some of you just need to be taught. And if you're already got your hackles on, you tell me I can't wear my whatever. All right, then just go do it. Honestly, God bless you. But do you want to be a principled people? Do you want to live unquestionably within the boundaries of what's right, or do you want to just find the edge and just hang around it till you fall off of it? I mean, that's the choices you got to make. But there's a lot of those stores that literally, I've been told by Christian people, Christian ladies, that you walk in there and you step 2 or 3 feet inside of that, and literally the hackles go back on the back. If you have any spiritual sensitivity, the music, the darkness, the nakedness, the whole image that's portrayed is fleshly filth. And you want to go in there and get the name of that store and put it on you and wear it around all the place? I don't. That's not what I'm trying to represent. I'm not trying to represent. And I'm not saying that everything that's got a name on it, that's that type of store. Be honest with you, I'm probably more ignorant about this stuff than anybody. I'm not a fashion guy. I don't care, you know. Get something that says Chicago Bears. Again, godly stuff, you know. I don't know most of what people, I don't know. I wouldn't know one store from the other. Now, if you wore something that said like Sears, then I think I know what that is, you know. Or like Rural King, you know. I'd know what that is. I don't know what all this other stuff is. And I'm not trying to be judge and jury over. I'm just saying, honestly, well, you know, why don't you take the Holy Spirit of God with you standing in front of that store and say, Dear Holy Spirit of God, watch this. This will help you right here. Well, Spirit hadn't convicted me. Have you asked him? Okay. So this is what I want you to do. Go there. You got the Spirit of God in you. And stand outside that store and say, Dear Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit of God, I don't want to do this without your permission. Please tell me this is okay to do. Please tell me it's okay to do. See, we want to do wrong and then say, well, I don't want to stop doing wrong until the Holy Spirit tells me otherwise. Why don't you just ask him ahead of time? Matter of fact, why don't you make sure you got his permission to do anything? Hey, we're not just supposed to do everything we do until the Holy Spirit gets a club out and starts beating us over the head. We ought to be asking him. So stand there. Come on. What I'm saying is fair here. Stand outside that store and say, Holy Spirit of God, you are the Holy Spirit, a member of the triune God. Is this a store that you'd be comfortable going in? And would this be something I would want to buy and have on my body, your temple, put on your temple to represent you and your dwelling place while I'm here on this earth? Would this be God? Now, are you listening to me? I think I'm being kind and I'm being fair here. But some of you need to take these things into consideration, okay? And so these are the three principles that I go through when I consider apparel, when I'm going to wear something. When I put something on, I want it to be unquestionably gender specific. I don't want it to have any femininity about it whatsoever. I don't want it to be halfway unisex, any of this nonsense. I want it to just be masculine, okay? I want it to be unquestionably modest. I want to make sure that I'm properly covered. And I don't want it in any way reflect that I have an association, ungodly association with this world. I'm just not interested in doing that. And those Bible verses govern, give you three principles that will govern that. Now, let me get down through some of this tonight, and then I don't know if we'll have time to do everything. And then maybe we'll pick it up next week. But we had you go to two portions of scriptures. Let me give you several points here tonight. Number one, God created mankind. We covered this last week. This is a review reminder in two forms, male and female. God is the one who decided that there was to be a difference. So God created them, Genesis 1:27, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Remember, that's thrice proclaimed in the scriptures. That's important. That means something. That means God has settled it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are in agreement. God created mankind, but he did not just create mankind. He, male and female, created he them. He set a boundary there. Number two, God expects there to be an obvious outward difference in the outward appearance of a man and a woman. Now, this difference is distinguished in two main or key areas, length of hair and outward apparel. The length of your hair and what you put on your body as far to wear. These are the two primary outward differences that ought to separate a man from a woman in appearance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, doth not nature itself teach you, if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is glory for her. God's very careful to show this distinction. Men, you're supposed to have short hair. Ladies, you're to wear your hair long. It's your glory. It's your shame, sir, if you wear your hair in a feminine way or in long hair. Her hair is given her for a covering, the Bible says. And then, so there's the hair. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall put on a woman's garment, neither shall man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to God, the Lord God. So when it comes to being gender specific, we ought to be aware that our hair is cut and styled either very masculine or very feminine, and that we make sure that as a woman we don't put on anything that pertains unto a man, and as a man we do not wear women's garments. God expects there to be an obvious outward difference. Number three, if we did not have one verse in the Bible teaching us that there's to be this distinguished difference, God illustrated by nature, by the way, nature means natural germination production, that this difference is there and is to be respected. 1 Corinthians 11:15, if you're there, flip over there. We'll stay there for a couple of minutes. But notice what God inspired Paul to write when he began to deal with this situation. Doth not nature itself, verse 14, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is shame unto him? Now, what Paul is literally saying, that, if you want me to say it like this, is kind of like, I can't believe I'm having to deal with this. I can't believe I'm having to write this. I can't believe I'm having to tell you this. Now, gentlemen, I don't care how we say it don't matter. There's no single man in the world that would watch a man walk in here with a long, effeminate, flowing hair, and there wouldn't be something inside of you, if there was no verse in the Bible to deal with, there'd be something inside of you that would say, that's not right. That's not right. But God did give us a verse. But isn't it interesting that God already put some things in us? See, it's in us to know that there ought to be a distinct outward difference in man and woman. I was on an airplane here a couple months ago, and a lady got on, and I'm not picking at her, making fun of her. She's just the way it is. And she had what we would call a butch hairstyle. And I mean, just shorter than mine. Absolutely shorter than mine, spiked on top and shorter than mine and tapered down. It was a man's haircut. And the way she was dressed, the way she acted, the way she walked was very masculine. And again, folks, listen to me. If I didn't know any of the scripture, I would look at that, and because of what God put us when we were created, would say, that's not right. There's just something wrong with that. That's not right. God didn't intend ladies to try to appear to be masculine and to look like men. God did not intend for men to try to grow their hair long and effeminate and flowing. That nature itself teaches us that. So even if we didn't have any verse in the Bible about it, there's something inside of us, the Bible says, nature, something naturally put in us that is accosted by that. So number four, let me give you this. For a man to have long hair is a shame to him. That word shame means this: dishonor, disgrace, reproach, shameful, vile. That comes from the Greek definition, Strong's Concordance. Let me say it again. For a man to have long hair, it's a shame to him. That word shame, dishonor, disgrace, reproach, shameful, or vile. And so, you young men that know better especially, God help you. I mean this. God help you. If you ever grow up, leave this place and decide that in utter rebellion, like Absalom, who was the rebel, that you'll grow your hair long. Let me tell you, you dishonor God, you're a disgrace to God, you're a reproach to God, it's shameful and vile. Now, I'm hard on our kids because they know better. They've been taught. I'm teaching you right now. Somebody walks in here, and they're off the street, and they're come visiting Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and they got long hair. You know what? I look at them and say, I don't think dishonor, disgrace, reproach, shameful, vile. You know what I think? I think, Lord, please save them. Please help them. And you say, well, they're saved. Well, if they are, Lord, help me to be a blessing to them. Maybe they could come and set into this ministry and learn so that they wouldn't wear their hair that way and so that they wouldn't be these things to you. And I don't want you, I'm not giving you these definitions so that you can get an acoustic view or a mean-spirited view towards people. I'm just telling you what it says. A man to have long hair, by God's definition of the word shame, is dishonorable, it's disgraceful, it's a reproach, it's shameful, and it's vile. That's why I go to a barber shop. I don't want to be those things. God deserves better than that from me. God did to me. Let me just help some of you. Well, preacher, wait a minute. I got a picture in my house of Jesus, and he's got long hair. And sincere people, I'm telling you this, sincere people have come to church and really believe that that is a picture of Jesus. And they hang it in their house because they want people to know they're in a, they're a Christian home, that they believe in God. I mean, they don't know. But let me just help you if you don't know. You know what? That's not a picture of Jesus. There was no cameras. There's no snapshots. Okay? That was an effeminate artist's rendition. By the way, a homosexual effeminate artist's rendition of what he believed Jesus Christ looked like. Well, what do you think an effeminate homosexual artist is going to paint when he paints a picture? And you say, preacher, are you telling me Jesus didn't have long hair? I'm telling you, Jesus didn't have long hair. How do you know that? Because it's a shame for a man to have long hair, because he would have been dishonorable to God, a disgrace to God, a reproach to God, shameful and vile, and Jesus was none of those things. And so, again, some of you may say, wow, you know what, that makes sense. I never knew that, never thought of that. I always thought that was a picture of Jesus. It's not. So Jesus didn't have long hair. I shouldn't have long hair. No man should have long hair. Number five, for a woman to have long hair is her glory. By the way, if you look that word up, it's her dignity, her honor, her glory, glorious, praise, worship. And so it's a very positive thing for a woman to have long hair. It's a very negative thing for a man to have long hair. And then here's always the question, preacher, how do you define short? How do you define long? How short? How long, long? And, you know, I guess I don't know how to judge that except to say this. Maybe it's somebody who never knew you before, or wait a minute, somebody that knows you is trying to describe you to someone who doesn't know you. Maybe they're going to meet you somewhere and they want to know what you look like. If that person was describing you, if they described your hair, would they say, she has short hair, or she has long hair, or she has kind of short hair, or she has kind of long hair? What I would want to do as a woman is just before the Lord make sure that I cut and styled my hair in a way where it was obviously feminine and it wasn't short. Okay, and it wasn't short. I'm not gonna give you a ruler measurement. Okay? But I think it ought to be obviously feminine, obviously long, and I don't think it ought to in any way mimic the hairstyle of a man. Is that fair? Is that biblical? Okay. And so I'm gonna let you hash that out in your heart. But be very careful, ladies, because we are getting more and more of a fad where ladies' hair is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and some of it ridiculously short. And you know what? You're losing your glory. It ought to be distinct. It ought to be very feminine, and you ought to have your hair long. All right, a woman's hair, number six, provides a portion of her covering. Did you notice there it says, for her hair is given for her a covering? This ought to help you with a little bit of how long is. Think about that. It helps in the area of modesty. If your hair is so short it doesn't help in the area of modesty, maybe it's too short. Okay? That's what God says in 1 Corinthians 11:15. That's what His said. That's what His Word said. That's what I'm preaching is His Word tonight. But it ought to be a portion or helps in her covering. I'm going to explain a little bit about how the hair works along with the garment to provide a covering or modesty for a woman in just a minute. So that deals with the hair issue. All right, let's switch over to the garments. Number seven, a man is not to put on a woman's garment. The women shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall man put on a woman's garment. And so men, again, be careful, because more and more the styles and fashions in this day and age is leaning towards being very feminine, okay? And so be very guarded against that. Watch it. Make sure that what you're wearing speaks of masculinity, that it wouldn't be miscued as a woman's garment. You know, I think that if you go to my closet side of the closet and you look at my shirts and you go over at Cheryl's side and look at my there should be a pretty obvious that you're on the man's side and you're on the lady's side, okay? If there's not a whole lot of difference looking in there, then you might want to check what you're buying, okay? Or just be obviously, unquestionably masculine. A woman, number eight, a woman is not to wear that which pertaineth to a man. And isn't it different? I think all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I think God's very specific. The words of God are very specific. It said that a man's not to put on woman's garments, but it didn't say that a woman's not to put on man's garment. It says woman's not to put on that which pertaineth to a man. Deuteronomy. So even if a garment has its association with masculinity, that ought to be avoided. And so, a lady may say, well, I don't wear men's pants, I wear women's pants. They're out of a little bit different fabric, they're tailored a little differently, and so they're not men's pants, there's women's pants. And my honest answer to that, and I'm not trying to be mean, is that so if I design a dress that's made out of a little bit more masculine material and is retailored that it fits a man's figure better than a woman's figure, then it's acceptable. I should be able to wear that. And the answer obviously is no. You can't make a slight adjustment on that which has historically pertained to a man and say all of a sudden, ta-da, it's a lady's garment. It's not. Pants, number 9, pants pertain to men. This is inarguable. Pants pertain to men. Dresses or skirts pertain to women. I was in Books a Million the other day and I saw something and went, I'm buying those. Because from time to time I'm leaving my office, and once every 7 years when I preach on this, I'm going to bring them out, I guess. But they're actually bookmarks, but what they did was they made bookmarks out of the signs that you would normally find on bathroom doors. And so you have two little figures here, okay? And one of these tell you to go into the men's restroom, one of these tell you to go in the ladies' restroom. And so, folks, just take a look and figure out where you're supposed to go. Okay, they had to come up with some way to distinguish which bathroom was which. Obviously, they dodged the hair issue by making both the people bald. So, I guess, Tim, you can use either one. All right, you're good to go, man. Bald is beautiful. Just go for it, I don't know. But isn't it interesting? By the way, you don't think that the world tried to figure out some with the feminist movement, women's lib movement, you think that they didn't think this a zillion ways around trying to figure out something else to put on a lady's door than this? But you know what? When it all shakes down, there's one thing that's never changed. And this is what they hang on the door of the ladies. So this pertains to men and this pertains to a woman. Everybody, you can go to a different country, foreign country. You know what you'll find on the doors? Ta-da! I've been in them. I know. And you'll look and see and say, okay, now I know which. I can't read the language. I don't know what the words mean. But I can say by the picture that this pertains to a man and this pertains to a lady. Pants on a woman should not be worn for several reasons, but one of the reasons is that it does pertain to a man. And even in this culture, in this days, things have not changed so much that people do not understand this statement. Well, I know who wears the pants in that family. Everybody gets that. I was reading an article that was not in a Christian magazine this week, and the man made that statement in his article. Well, we know who wears the pants in that family, he said. And you know what? This wasn't a Christian guy. In this culture, people still understand that pants represent authority, the authority of the home. Pants represent the authority of the home. And so if we haven't changed. They still pertain to a man. They're associated with masculinity, and they're associated with authority in the home. And so that's one of the reasons that if I, as a Christian lady, decide that I'm going to begin to dress as a Christian, unquestionably gender specific, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to not wear that which in this culture still pertains to a man and is associated with masculinity and authority. Pants on a woman should not be worn because they are not, watch this, modest apparel. Now listen carefully what I'm going to say, because I want to properly define this and help you, and many of you don't know this, and again, we're not casting stones, and you have to learn, and my mother went through the process, and my sister went through the process, and my wife went through the process, and her mother went through the process, and all the ladies you see that have settled this, it doesn't mean sometime in their life they didn't have to figure this out, learn, battle it, pray it through, and get victory in this area of their life. I don't want you to feel like you're any different than anybody else sitting here. I'm not going to embarrass the ladies. I'm not going to embarrass you. And I don't want you to raise your hand. You'd be shocked how many ladies say, preacher, you know what? I agree with everything you're teaching right now, but I had to learn it. But there was a time when I dressed in a different fashion before I knew. Not out of defiance to God, not because I had this wicked, rebellious spirit, but because I really was untaught and unlearned. And thank God, I want to please the Lord, so I was taught and learned and understood and got it. And I decided that I was going to be very safe in this area of my life, and so I made adjustments in this area of my life. Now, let me help you with this matter of modesty. Gender specific. Well, you shouldn't wear pants because they're gender specific. Not only that, you shouldn't wear them because they're not modest apparel. In like manner also, by the way, turn there so you'll see the verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says this, in like manner also. Are you there? 1 Timothy 2, 9. In like manner also, that meant that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. The word modest apparel, if you'll look in the Greek and do a Greek word study on it, the word modest means orderly or decorous or of good behavior. And so the word modest, if you just do a study on the word modest and you do not do a study in connection to the second word apparel, you may not understand the full meaning of this phrase here. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest means orderly, decorous, or of good behavior. The word apparel there means to deposit. If you look at the root word of that word apparel, it means this: to put down, to quell, to appease, to quiet. It comes from two base words, down and to render wise. That's the two base words. It means to put down or to flow down, to quell, to quiet, to appease. Now, if you take those two words, orderly, decorous, good behavior, and to wear apparel that, when deposited, flows down, puts down, quells, quiets, and appeases the form. Now think about this. Modest apparel then, that phrase by definition, is decorous, it's orderly, and it reflects good behavior. It is to be deposited or worn to flow down in such a way that quells and quiets the natural figure of a woman. It reflects wisdom. Now listen to me. It doesn't say that it erases the feminine form. It says it quiets and quells the feminine form. That's the difference between femininity and sexuality. You see, that's the difference between modesty. I'm not saying, you know, everyone's people get frustrated. Well, if you're going to believe all this, then next thing you know, we'll be like the Muslims and everybody will walk around. No, the Bible doesn't say that it should erase the feminine form. It said it should quiet and quell the feminine form. It ought to appease it. Modest apparel, by definition, is decorous, orderly, reflects good behavior. When deposited or worn, it is to flow down in such a way that quells and quiets the natural figure of a woman. It reflects wisdom. Okay, so if you flip the coin over, by definition, immodest apparel, by comparison, is disorderly and suggests questionable behavior. Instead of flowing down to quiet the figure, it instead outlines the figure of a woman. Please hear what I just said. It outlines the figure of a woman and reflects the last lack of wisdom. So by definition then, you want to get that door for me, somebody? By definition then, I think the Lord's or the devil's probably trying to get some of you not listen to what I'm saying, because this is very, very important. And it is more important than probably we understand. Okay? Oh, I just think it's not a big deal, blah, 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 blah. And I know, and our culture is going to hell in a handbasket. It is. And the wickedness upon wickedness upon wickedness, because we've broken down barriers that Christian people ought to stand firm on. Immodest apparel, by comparison, is disorderly and suggests questionable behavior. Instead of flowing down to quiet the figure, it instead outlines the figure of a woman. By the way, that would be pants, that would be shorts, that would be a tight skirt or tight tops or a tight dress. Okay? And no matter what garment you have on, it can be immodest. You can wear something that's gender specific, but it's not modest. And, you know, when every once in a while see some of the, there's a reason we have A-line dresses as a standard for our school and hopefully for our Christian ladies. I encourage you to do that. It's not enough just to wear a skirt. You don't want to wear one that conforms to your figure, because it may be gender specific, but then it's not modest. If it quiets and quells, flows to quiet and quell, the figure of a young lady or a lady, then it is a modest apparel, and it reflects a lack, it reflects wisdom to do that. It shows that you have a understanding about what the scripture, it shows that you have wisdom in this area of what type of dress hurts and damages the minds of men and what type of dress protects and helps in this matter. Okay? Verse 11, or number 11. a loose-fitting top and full skirt, full A-line skirt with a full loose, or a full loose-fitting dress, A-line, coupled with long hair, quells and quiets a woman's figure and portrays an image of femininity and wisdom. I think it's inarguable. I think it's inarguable. Okay? Let me say it again. A loose-fitting top and full skirt, or a full loose-fitting dress coupled with long hair, covers, quiets, and quells a woman's figure and portrays an image of femininity and wisdom. Slacks, pants, tight-fitting dresses, tops or skirts that outline, emphasize, draw attention to, and sometimes even exaggerate a woman's figure portrays an image of sexuality and loose morals. Okay? And that's not what God wants Christian ladies to do. Okay, remember that modest apparel quiets or quells a woman's figure. It is not required to erase it. Godly woman will have an obvious feminine appearance and form and style. I like femininity. You know, femininity is modest. Femininity is gender specific. Femininity is careful and wise. And you know what? There's not a man that's masculine that does not appreciate a lady that dresses that way. I mean appreciate her for the right reason. Have heightened respect for her. And so it doesn't erase it. But to have a, and that's what I said, to have an extreme set of rules that insist on totally eliminating the feminine form so that there's no distinction between a woman and a man destroys the intent of the scriptural instruction. And so why do we have our young ladies wear culottes? I want to help you. Please look up here, and I really want to help you. And this is, again, I'm uncomfortable doing this. I'd 1,000 times rather have all the gals go somewhere. My wife talked to you about this. But can I just cover quickly? Sometimes our definition of culottes have become anything and everything. But folks, listen to me. Culottes should do what any other feminine, gender-specific, modest piece of apparel ought to do. It ought to quiet and quell and cover and flow, and it shouldn't outline. There's things that have become popular even in our independent fundamental Baptist circles, and I know there's so many names for these things. They call them gauchos. But basically, they're just a pair of shorts with flared legs. To me, that's not culottes. When a young lady's standing there, you know what, with a pair of properly formed and fitted culottes, you ought not to know whether she's got a skirt on or culottes on. Okay, it still allows her to be totally 100% feminine in appearance. And yet, guess what? She wants to jump on the back of a horse and do a little horseback riding, she can still do it modestly. And so I want you to think about moms, grandmas, please help me with this. Okay, so many things have become so, you know, form-fitting. And I don't want to say things I don't have to say. Please help me with this. But you know what? There's a reason that a skirt, you know, covers and quiets some things, and there's a reason that a pair of gauchos don't. I'm not saying any more than that. If you ladies can't pick up the ball and run with this, we're in trouble here. Okay, we don't have enough godly ladies to sit down and explain what I can't say right now to their daughters. Then you need to really rethink some things, okay? So culottes that have the appearance of a full skirt are not masculine, okay? But many gauchos and even some styles of culottes are really nothing more than full shorts because they outline the figure like men's pants and do not require or meet the biblical definition of modesty for ladies. Number 12, nakedness in the Bible is defined as the exposure of the thigh, the exposure of the thigh. And so you say, well, preacher, I don't understand where you decided this line is. I didn't decide where the line is. The scriptures decided what the line is. Say, where are they at? Exodus 28, go there. Exodus 28, verse number 42. Exodus 28, verse number 42. This is dealing with the men, the priests. When they ascended the stairs to make the sacrifice, God wanted to make sure that they were covered, modest. And by the way, young men, you ought to pay attention to this. Modest in apparel, cover their nakedness. Exodus 28, verse number 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Now here's what it says. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. Now what I'm saying is, when God talks about nakedness in the Bible, we're going to see it here, and we're going to see it over in another portion of scripture here, Isaiah, in just a second. But there's a reason that we have things, and want young ladies, skirts, and things. That's why we always say you ought to sit in such a way so that it covers your knees when you're sitting and it doesn't expose your thigh. God believes, and the Bible identifies nakedness as the exposure of a thigh. Okay? Now, did you hear that, men? Okay, some of you that want to, some of you are just so determined that your pastor needs to make every lady wear skirts to the ankle. I'm not, you know, and if it's not that, then you're hypercritical about it. Stop it. The Bible identifies what nakedness is, and there's a reason that we have the rules we do, and I'm not trying to become a Pharisee and broaden the phylacteries so that, you know, and have a modesty contest, all right? The Bible's specific that the exposure of the thigh is exposure to nakedness, all right? Go over, if you will, to Isaiah chapter number 47, Isaiah chapter 47. This is an important portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 47, and if you will, look at verse number 1, Isaiah 47, verse number 1. Now, pay attention to this, and don't miss out. I know this is a prophecy upon judgment upon Babylon, and it's speaking to Babylon as if she is a young lady. But the truth still remains. Notice this. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now, what this is it's saying, okay, Babylon, you are like a modest, feminine young lady, and all of that is going to be taken from you. And so if I'm a modest, feminine young lady, I might pay attention to what's about to be said here, okay? First of all, it says, thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Isn't it interesting? It's almost like ladies get offended if you, about this matter of femininity. It's almost like they're running from it. They're pushing from it. They don't want to be associated with it. What's wrong with it? Notice this. You notice what he said. Here's judgment coming. Take the millstones and grind the mill. You know what that's saying? That's saying this. Guess what? I'm going to take away your womanhood, your ladyhood. I'm going to take away your femininity. I'm going to make you work like a man. Thy locks make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, for I will not meet thee as man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called, watch this, the Lady of Kingdoms. And you know what? We have it in America allowed the same things to happen and be accepted. And I think it's the judgment of Almighty God. One of the ways God has judged our nation is he stole our ladyhood. He's stolen our femininity. And so notice the downward progression in this book, verse. She lost her royal position to sit in the dust. Okay, you don't go up the ladder and advance the ladder by becoming more masculine and turning your back on the Bible principles of femininity. You go down into the dust when you do that. Okay, she lost her royal position to sit in the dust. She lost her charm and purity. She was put to work at taxing physical labor. She cut her hair. She exposed her thighs, causing her nakedness to be seen. It's the little phrase there, she crossed the rivers. You know what that means? She crossed over the natural God-given boundary, so she was no longer called a lady. So what I'm trying to share with you is there's a reason that we have the boundaries that we have. Oh, some of you just, you picked a date in the 1950s and decided everybody's supposed to dress. It wasn't a date. It was a specific biblical principle. It was a specific biblical safe style of dress that reflected femininity and also covered the thighs and was modest, okay? And so So the downward progression we see there, refusing to dress modestly creates opportunity for men to lust after a woman and in a sense makes her a participant in the resulting adultery committed in his heart. Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart. Let me be very careful the way I say this. Gentlemen, let me just say this to you. I don't care how ladies dress out there. If you look and lust, it's your sin. I said it's your sin. Okay? You're fully responsible because you looked and lusted. That's your sin. Okay, but this a lady that dresses in such a way that entices men's eyes to them has also sinned in ignoring the principles of the Word of God on how to dress properly. So this man has sinned, and his sin is separate from hers, but she has also sinned. Because she has, watch this, she has undermined the moral state of a nation. She's contributed to the immoral and godless mindset of lost men. I said this the other day when I was preaching, but daddies, listen to me. I hold you to account on this. I hold you to account on this. I don't understand dads that will let their daughters leave the house when you know they're dressed in such a way. Come on, you never worked construction. You never been around guys before. You never worked in a factory. I mean, come on. Your ignorance of what draws men's eyes and comments. And yet you'd let your daughter or your wife walk out in public and such. Listen, if you're dressed modestly, ladies, I mean modestly and feminine, and some pervert wants to look at you and lust, you know what? Then that's on him. But if you contribute to it, shame on you. I mean that, shame on you. And so take that seriously and be careful about that. And so we see that the thigh is identified as the covering of the thighs, identified by nakedness. Let me approach tackle something here that will help you. Remember, so somebody, you know, some young men, and we see this in fundamentalism, it's happening more and more, where some of the young men are saying, well, okay, then, if covering the thigh is modest, then I ought to be able to wear shorts as long as they come down the same length as culottes. And first of all, every guy that's wearing a pair of shorts that I've seen, when they sit down, it comes up over their knee, and it isn't as long as the length of the ladies' dresses, okay? But remember, it's not just modesty. There's three principles that you look at when you decide what to wear, okay? One of them might meet one of the criteria. Well, I'm going to wear a pair of shorts, and you know what? They're going to be right here. And when I sit down, they're going to be right here. Well, you're going to look like a dork for one thing, okay? I don't know. If you're going to go here, why not just go here, okay? But if you insisted on doing it and you say, well, you cannot say I'm immodest, I would say you're right. I wouldn't say you're immodest. But I'm not just interested in dressing modestly. I'm interested in dressing gender specifically. And by the way, that means masculine. That means to look like a man. That means, listen, you talk to the older folks there. You know what they'll say? You know what? Shorts, pants for little boys and pants are for men. All right, you want to dress like a little boy or a man? I got a bunch of 20-year-olds running around looking like Junior. So I don't wear them because they're not masculine. I also don't wear them because they're a reflection of the worldly culture. If we took four or five of our boys and put them in tank tops and shorts and stood them out on the street, you'd think they were Shack and Mack public school kids because that's what they're all wearing. So why would I want to wear something that wasn't distinctly, obviously Christian, that didn't separate me from the worldly look? And so I've heard this, and some of you are talking about it, and some of you are doing it. I don't understand you folks that have two sets of clothes, one for around here and one when you go on vacation. I just, you need to get some convictions about it. I really mean it. You need to graduate from preference to conviction. I don't get that stuff. I don't get that stuff. Just, I guess, whatever, but you need to settle some things in your heart. Okay, so refusing to dress modestly creates opportunity for men to lust after a woman, in a sense makes her a participant in the resulting adultery committed in his heart. 15, when a woman is dressed immodestly, it is the responsibility of Christian men to look away. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes, then why should I think upon a maid? I talked to the men in our Men of Courage conference when I spoke to the layman. I said, you know what, give your wife the security. Help her and give her the security by knowing that you're not interested in other women that walk through and walk around. And you got to discipline yourself, man. Ladies, don't get crazy. Somebody walks in peripheral vision, they're not dressed right, your husband glances over. I'm sorry, I saw movement in the left eye. I looked over. But the minute I look over and see that, I immediately, look, I don't just look away. I turn my body completely away. I'm over here like this. I'm going to find something else to look at right here. Until she's, for one thing, I'm going to tell you why. I do it for a lottery. I do it for her and I do it for God. But I also do it for that lady there. No, I do it for that lady there. Because let me tell you what she's used to. She's used to everywhere she walk and all the men doing this to her. And you know what? Watch this. When you don't, they can't hardly stand it. Don't tell me it's not done purposefully. I mean, when a man glances at you, her completely turns his back on her like that, you know what? I'm telling her something. Shame on you. Shame on you. I mean, I've had them circle. You know why? Because they're used to having the power. Listen, why, men, why would you give somebody like that kind of power? Why would you reward her on her little ego trip? I'm not rewarding her. I want her to have a clear signal. I'm a Christian gentleman, and I disrespect the way that you're dressed. I respect the way my wife's dressed. I say this to our teenage boys. Man, when I was back youth pastor, I used to get on there once in a while. I run all the girls off the bus one time and chewed their hides. We were at a gas station going on a trip, and some girl that wasn't dressed properly pulled up and started pumping gas, and half our guys are being fools, staring out the window at her. And you wonder why these girls sometimes have a hard time dressing right. You show them no respect. You don't. I mean, the level of disrespect of the young men in this church towards the young ladies sometimes. I don't know what y'all are teaching your sons, but you need to get a hold of that thing. You need to teach them something called chivalry. How to respect and how to treat a woman properly. But you don't show them respect. You don't show them any respectful, decent attention. But then you want to stare at something like that. And you wonder why they sometimes struggle with thinking, you know what? I mean, even so-called Christian guys won't pay us attention unless we're dressed like a hoochie mama. Well, they're not going to get that from this preacher, and they shouldn't get it from the godly men in this church, and they shouldn't get it from our young men. I'd like to see some of our young men just grow up in this area of your life. Okay, stop letting hormones control your life and control your mind, control your actions. Start being a man, respectable man, that knows how to possess his body in sanctification and honor. Flee fornication. So what you do, you see something you shouldn't see. You see a billboard you shouldn't see. You know what? I'm over here. I'm looking at this until we pass that. Okay? Now, there's a reason I don't go to the mall. How in the world can I? I can't believe they allow. I can't believe it's legal to have some of the stores they have in that mall. Yet some of you young men find any excuse to go there and walk by the place 10 times. You know, you're not a man. You're not a man. You're not a man. Okay? Man exercise discipline. So when a woman is dressed immodestly, it's the responsibility of Christian men to look away. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this teaching time. What we were allowed to cover in the time frame we had, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, and just be tender to the workings of your Spirit in our life. Lord, I pray that we'd be fair with you and conscious of what the Bible teaches. And Lord, may we not be resistant to your leading in this area of our lives. Lord, work tenderly with new Christians, Lord. The last thing I prayed before I walked in the church auditorium was that I did not want to offend somebody that was new in the faith. And maybe just because of where they are in Christian growth, they haven't learned some things. And Lord, I'm so proud of them, and I've watched them grow in so many ways, and I love them, and I want them to know that. And God, but I do pray that this teaching time would be a benefit and a help to give them a beginning of understanding of some of the things that you expect and ask of us once we're saved. And Lord, I pray that we'd want to array the temple of the Holy Spirit in such a way that reflected that this was the house of God, this was the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. May we, Lord, be very careful and very conscious of the way our outward appearance is appearing to a lost and dying world, we pray, please, in Jesus' name.